I want to tell you that the word of the Lord for this house, for this new decade, is to go again. That's it. To go again. And for those of you that are thinking right now, oh dear Jesus, I thought we'd been and staying right here. Let's all wake up and say to each other, go again. Why not turn to the person next to you and say, you know what, it's time, you go again. I thank God for another opportunity to not only be in God's presence, but to share the kingdom of God with many others. Don't you agree? And I want to start this series this morning and speak to you over the next few weeks. I encourage you to be here, and for those that haven't kind of just made it after their Christmas pud, why not tell them to listen to the podcast this next week so that they get on board with where we're going. We're having this as a series, and it's going to follow a certain story in the Bible that I want us to hear, because do you know what? I believe that when God speaks into my heart, He speaks into the heart of the church. And God has really been challenging me about where we are and where we should be, and I just thank God for His grace, you know? Because His grace is enough. Don't you believe that? And so I want to share with you about Go Again. And in this new decade, let me say something to you all. I believe this about every one of you today. Your past, everyone say your past. Your past isn't strong enough to hold you back from your future. I want you to understand that right from the beginning of 2020. How did we get there? That your past isn't strong enough to hold you back from your future. Whatever distractions have been in your past, whatever sickness you have in your life, whatever your thoughts are this morning, whatever your situations may be, I totally believe that your past isn't strong enough to hold you back from your future. You see, I believe that with Jesus first, anything is possible. We've seen God work in so many ways. And my trust is in Him. I don't know about you. You know, the Bible says, and I don't know where this scripture just came from, but I know it's in there, that some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the Lord our God. How many know we're trusting in Jesus today? Now, I want to ask you a question, because this is kind of where I've been at, and I wonder if anybody else has been in this place. Do you ever feel like you're back in a place that you've been before? And that might be a physical place. You know, sometimes you're on holiday and you visit somewhere and you think, wow, I've been here before, you know. There's a bit of that, but I don't just mean in a physical sense, and that may be true for some of you, but back in a similar setting or back in a similar season that you've been through before. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about today? And we feel like we're just back in a place. Well, I, to be honest, have felt like that in these recent weeks, in these recent months, that God has brought me back to a place. And this was a place 30-odd years ago, a season that I went through when God was really challenging me in what He was saying into my life. And it's like, well, Dave, move on. You know, move on. But, you know, let me tell you something. God sometimes has to take you back to a place where you've been before or something you recognized before in order so that you can go again. And so this has kind of been going on in my life, and this place was where God was really speaking to me. And the bottom line of what God was doing at that time, 30-odd years ago, in a season of my life when I was building stuff in a material sense, not just people, God just wanted my yes. That was it. You know, God can do an awful lot with us if we'll just give Him our yes. We want to give God all kinds of stuff, and God's happy for us to lay our burdens on Him and to bring stuff to Him. But very often, God brings us back to a place because He just wants our yes. And I feel like I've been there before, and I feel like I have been there for a while again. And God wants my yes. He says, Dave, will you go again? Would you do that? Would you be prepared to go again? And I think, God, well, 30-odd years ago, it was a bit of a battle, and you won the battle, God, and I've never regretted it, and you've done some amazing stuff. And thank God for all the people that are here. Thank God for the people that are living on mission. And all the people that you're bringing to us is an awesome thing. But maybe just it's just a little bit time, Lord, where I can kind of pull back a little bit. You know, I've done my time, 30-odd years. You'd get a gold watch in some places for that, and a lot more. And I'm like, well, God, I don't really know what that means, and the challenge of God has been on my life over these last few months, and God has been saying, Dave, will you go again? You see, I just believe that He's after my yes again. Whatever's happened in my life over these certainly 30, 20-odd years that I've led you as a community, whatever's been going on in my life, you know what? It's been coming on you. The stories that I can tell of what God's done in my life, it's almost like whatever's going on in Dave's life, prepared, because He's leading you under the sovereignty of God. But be prepared, because it's coming your way. I wonder how many of you are sat there this morning and God is saying to you, I just want your yes again. I just want your yes. And this whole idea of coming back to a place, you know, is the thing that I want to kind of nail over this next couple of weeks. Coming back. Because we want to go forward. You know, those who are going home amongst us, we just want to go. We want to go again. And we want to go again. Sometimes God has to bring us back to a place. And I just want to remind us that, you know, Bible's full of this stuff about this come back stuff. And it reminded me of God's children, the Israelites. Many of you will know the story that His children were slaves to the Egyptians and had been for a long, long time. And God delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. And Moses led these people out into the wilderness. And we can talk all day about the wilderness experiences and the wilderness wanderings, as we call it. And during this time was a combination of the miraculous and the moaning. Of course, not the church today. Everybody's always happy. But back in the day, you know, with God's people who were different than you, not, there was a lot of miraculous going on and there was a lot of moaning going on. And that was kind of the dynamic that was happening at that time. And when Moses led them out of Egypt, you know, almost immediately God started to do some amazing stuff among them. And I don't know if you've read the story of the parting of the Red Sea, and they were trying to get away from their enemies, and God opened up the sea. They walked through, as the story goes. And they experienced the parting of the Red Sea. That was at the beginning. And then there's a whole two generations of 40 years of them wandering around. And then as we read the Bible, we find that they find themselves coming back to a similar setting. But now they are on the banks of the River Jordan. And God is about to do something again. Everyone say again. God is about to do something again. And I've said that sometimes God has got to bring us back. Everyone say back. He's got to bring us back to a place in order for us to go again. I believe God has been doing that in me, and I believe that God is doing that in us. Let me just talk for a moment about this place this place of coming back, you know. That might mean many different things to us this morning. It might mean different to you than it means to me, but I believe God wants to bring us back to some stuff. Maybe this place that he brings us back to for you is a place where God can remind you of some things. Maybe some things that he said to you an awful long time ago. Or maybe for you, this is a place that you can come back to and recall the passion that you once had for Jesus. Maybe this is a place where you go back to or come back to and you remember the dream. You know that dream that God spoke to you about so long ago? And with wandering maybe through your own wilderness, the dream has become a little bit faded with the heat of the day and with the heat of the season and year in and year out. And God is bringing us back to a place where we see those things. Maybe a place for you where God can show you something. How many anybody want God to show them something? You know, to come back to a place where we can stop and just say, God, you brought me back here. I have come back so that you can show me some stuff. Maybe for some of you to reestablish the promise that he gave you. A place where you can recount your yes to God. You know, I kind of get the feeling, maybe because this is how I've felt, that maybe some of you feel that you've done your bit. You know, you look back and you think, wow, we've been doing this for a long, long time. And all those years ago, God, I said yes to you, but now it's someone else's turn. I believe even for you guys that are sat out there thinking that, I believe God is basically bringing us back to a place where he wants our yes. He wants our willingness. He wants our yes in order to move forward and to go forward. Maybe a place for you when you come back is a place of opportunity. I believe the reason that he brings us back, and here's the truth, I believe, that sometimes we get a bit lost on the journey. Anybody agree with that? It's like we've been wandering a while and we get a little bit lost on this journey. A little bit like God's people of old. This morning, and there's so many places I can take this, and I've got time over the next few weeks to do it. But I want to share with you, just as an introduction this morning, I want to give you two things. Everyone say two things. I want to give you two things that really help us lose our way. I want to share two things that really help you. If you want to lose your way, here's two things that are really going to help you lose your way. Familiarity and fear. Everyone say familiarity. Everyone say fear. Familiarity and fear. And the first example that I want to bring to you based on the story that I've already commented on of these God's people wandering through the wilderness is in Exodus chapter 14. And the scenario here is basically they have left Egypt and Pharaoh has now given the order to all his armies to pursue the Israelites. And so they've got to a certain point, and they've escaped from Egypt. God has delivered them, but they are being pursued by the enemy. And it comes to a point where the enemy have caught up with the Israelites, and there's panic in the camp just a little bit. And I read from verse 10. Of Exodus 14. It says this. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, who was their leader, "Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness?" How many people know how to encourage a leader? "Why did you bring us out to die here in the wilderness?" You thought there were only drama kings and drama queens today. "Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt?" Wow, he's really setting the pace here. "Didn't you think there was enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, 'Leave us alone.'" How many have always got selected memory? "Leave us alone. Help us, or let us be slaves to the Egyptians." And I love this. It's like, if you're going to put it in a way, and then make sure you rehearse what you're going to say, because they put it onto their leader here when they say, "It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness." Wow. "It's better to be a slave in Egypt than to be a corpse in the wilderness." Now, I want to tell you just one or two things that I notice about this bit of this story. Here we go. They wanted to go back to the familiar. Hear the word of the Lord. They wanted to go back to the familiar. How many know the familiar, even when it's not great, it has a sense of security? Why is it that we hear that history repeats itself? You know, you can go from one abusive relationship into another. Was never your intention, was never your heart, but we tend to follow that pattern again. We tend to go from one thing to another because even in its abusiveness, we feel some measure of security. And it's the same with lots of other situations that we could all name, our own stories this morning, that we go for the familiar because we feel secure within it. Let me tell you this, the familiar is always an easier option than faith. Always. Well, we know our way. So if we go that way, we know it's secure, whether that's about things, whether it's about finance, whether it's about relationships. We know that. We know what happens there. And so that security pulls us towards the familiar. But the familiar is always an easier option than faith. I want to remind some of you, and probably for some of you will have heard this for the first time, that a long time ago now, 20-odd years ago, when we started our transitional journey as a church, let me tell you something. The word familiar was never in our vocabulary. We never used the word familiar. It just wasn't in our dictionary at that time. I tell you why? Because we were riding on the wave of faith. We were on a wave of faith at that time. And I remember it well, and some of you are still around that will remember the kickoff and the moaning that we got. Let me tell you what that was all about. That was all to do with the familiar. As I look now and I see clearer than I've ever seen it before, all the kickoff was to do with the familiar. People resisted and they wanted to go back. Everyone say, go back. They resisted because they wanted to go back to the familiar. A familiar sound, a familiar smell, a familiar feel, and many of them did just that. And that's a whole other story all on its own. And I want to say this to you, that the voice of familiar always shouts louder than the voice of faith. Let me say that to you again. The voice of the familiar always shouts louder than the voice of faith. You know, at the time, many of you won't know this, but people said of me and our leadership that we were robbing the church of what it was. And some of you are still around that will remember that time. They said we were robbing the church of what it was. I say we were listening to the voice of faith that created what we've become. That's what I say. And you know, back then I couldn't say that because it was the voice of faith. And it's like it's easy to say it now, and we all enjoy the benefits of what we've become and what we are becoming, because how many know we've not finished yet? How many know we need to go again? And there's always another level of faith. And as someone said, another level, another devil, there's always someone trying to stop us doing what God wants us to do and being who we're supposed to be. So they were kicking off about what we weren't and what they wanted to be, and many of them went off to reproduce the familiar that they were used to. I want to tell you that faith is not a familiar route. Hear me. Faith is not a familiar route. It's a route that we left many, many years ago, and I want to suggest to you this morning, and in my experience of leading with you guys here, is that the last 20-odd, I don't want to say how many 20-odd, just say 20, it sounds less, but for the last 20-odd years, we haven't followed a path. Hear me, we haven't followed a path, we've blazed a trail. We never had this map. God gave me a scripture many years ago that said something like, totally confused me. You will know which way to go since you've never been this way before. I'm like, how do I know where to go if we've never been there before? You see, the thing is, we're cutting a path. We're not following something. The only thing we're following is the power and the presence of Jesus, which is exactly what they did in the Old Testament with the ark. They covered and they followed the presence of Jesus. And so we didn't follow a path, we blazed a trail. And I believe in this scripture, in this story of God's people, God was trying to get his people to come back. Everyone say, come back. I love the song we sung earlier, coming back to communion. Coming back to the start. Going back further. Coming back to the heart of worship. Coming back. There's a difference between coming back and going back. Hear me. God was trying to get his people to come back to him whilst they were trying to go back. They thought Egypt looked all right. Isn't it amazing how cool we think the past was? You know, we had the presence of God in the past. We had this in the past. We had that in the past. We knew where we were going in the past. The past always sounds really good. You know, we kind of look at some of the stuff that we were involved in, and we think, wow, God, heaven came on earth. Sometimes I think we just kid ourselves about the past. And I honor the past. I appreciate the past. You know, I live in the present, but I long for the future. That's apostolic. We're not looking back all the time. We need to be looking forward. We need to be looking where we are. We need to be aware of where we are. But you know what? We are a people of faith. The voice of faith sees things that are not like they are. Come on, come with me. That's what they see. Faith is different. And going back all those years now, we can comment about the faith that we had and some of the incredible things that God has done through the likes of many of you in this room and many who have been sent around the world and are serving God around the world. But it's about faith. Not just looking how good the past was or even wanting to go back to the past. There is a difference between coming back to something so that we go again and just going back. Another thing that will help you lose your way. Familiarity will help you lose your way. Another thing that will help you lose your way is fear. Everyone say fear. As we move through the Old Testament, we're now in the book of Numbers. We find ourselves in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And let me just give you, before I read this scripture, let me just give you a bit of context here. That Moses at this stage is now seeing that, of course, there is a promised land. And the whole adventure was to bring people, to bring God's people into the land of promise. And to live in the fullness of what God had for them. Do you know, he's not changed his plan. He still wants to do that. He still wants you to live in the blessing of the promised land, I believe. And the story where we are is that Moses sends these scouts, 12 scouts out. Do you know, all of them were leaders. I might just put that there. All of them were leaders. And he sends them out to look at the promised land. He says, go and spy on what it's like. Go and look at what I'm giving to you. We take up the story when they come back. So there's the 12 scouts have arrived back and they're giving their report of what they've seen. And they're giving the report of the good and the bad and the ugly. And they've just told everybody, they've told Moses and everybody how big the giants are in the land. How many know, in God's promised land, we think it's awesome, but there's giants there. Or did you not know that bit? There are giants there. Giants to be conquered. Whenever we do something in faith, there are always grapes and there are always giants. Hear what I'm saying. Is this okay? So we take up the story. Verse 30, Numbers 14, where it says this, but Caleb, everyone say Caleb. Caleb was one of the spies, all right? He was over, what they did, they chose 12 men who were over all the tribes of Israel. They were all leaders. These were high caliber leaders. And Caleb was one of them. And all the leaders started kicking off about how bad the promised land was. And Caleb starts sticking up for Moses and for God. And says, but Caleb, in verse 30, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. How many know that's the voice of faith? It's not the voice of fear. There is the voice of fear and there is the voice of faith. And here's Caleb with the voice of faith saying, let's go at once, take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men, the other 11, they were all leaders. And the leaders were giving a bad report. Imagine having leaders that give a bad report. You know, I think we should sell the building. I think we should, some of you believe that then. I think we should sell all this like it was a big mistake. There's too many giants ahead. We're not winning here. You know, there's more of them than there are of us. And it's not going really well, is it really? It's not great. I'm feeling a bit down, are you? It's New Year. I've had too much Christmas pudding. Let's give up. Let's go back to what we do. Let's go fishing. That sounds like a good idea on a Sunday morning. Let's sack church. Let's all go fishing next Sunday morning. See you on the canal at 9:30. How many want leaders that speak like that? How many, when you start speaking like that, it's so easy to listen to the voice of fear, isn't it? It's like, oh, maybe we can't afford what we're doing. Huh? We catch on very quickly. Almost some of you nearly said amen. Praise God, let's do it. Where were we? Oh, yeah, scripture. So Caleb said, let's take it straight away. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. So we've got all the leadership disagreeing. Some say, let's go in faith. Others are listening to the voice of fear and saying, we can't go, there's too many giants. We can't go up against them, they said. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report. Faithless leaders. With the voice of fear, they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we travel through and explore, listen to this, The land we travel through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. Oh, he's the voice of faith. All the people we saw were huge. Do you know what we're taking on to try and extend the kingdom of God in this town? This town that has had a mindset, thank God it's changing, but has had a mindset that is like, mine, I've worked hard for what I've had. I'm going to keep hold of everything I've got because I've worked so hard for it. You're not having any. So the 12 scouts went out and they looked and gave this bad report. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants. What? There was bigger than huge? We even saw giants. How many know this is about perspective? Everyone was huge, and we even saw giants. Come on, guys. They were the descendants of Anak. Voice of faith says the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Next to them, here's the leaders. You know, next to these guys, we look like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. I don't think they went and asked the giants, did you? This faithless voice, one thing leads to another, and it's like we're down in the dumps and despair, and before we know it, we're actually crawling on the floor, and you know, we're like grasshoppers, and everything, the situation in life, everything that's going on in my world is too big for me. The giants. You know, I'm so glad in the land of promise there were grapes as well as giants. In the story, it says that they picked a cluster of grapes in one of the regions that they went to see in the promised land. I'd have loved to have been there. They picked this cluster of grapes, and it says this cluster of grapes was so big that they had to put it on a pole and two men carry it to where they were going. I expect that, obviously, the same leaders as the ones who came and gave the bad report. I reckon they had a sneaky taste. And they tasted this grape. Can you imagine? Hold it like a football. Gnawing at this grape. Do you know those grapes, when you get them, they look good and they're horrible. They don't taste of anything. Taste of chemicals. Well, these were the opposite. These were grapes that were so... Oh, you can taste it now, can't you? It's like, oh, give me more. Oh, like, more, Lord. You know, it's one of them, isn't it? Just give me some more of the grape. And the same guys who'd seen the promise and all of this stuff and the goodness of God and the sweetness of the land and the provision of the land and living in his purposes, just they lost it through a voice of fear. They started to fear and listen to the voice of fear. And so instead of giving a good report like Caleb, let's take the land, they said we shouldn't go because the giants are so big. Let me tell you, in the land of promise, the grapes are always bigger than the giants. So there's giants there, and I wanted to kind of round this up this morning and say that people tend to listen to the voice of fear over the voice of faith. It happens all the time. Maybe because the voice of fear is more familiar to them. But that's what tends to happen. And I want to say this to all of us and all of you listening, wherever you are in the world, on the podcast, all around this country, as you listen to this, I want to say this. We need faith for this new decade. We don't need fear. We need faith for this new decade. That's what God's calling us to. We are a faith community. That's not just something, a label that we are a faith community. We live by faith. We walk by faith. We don't walk by fear. Do you know the time that we walk by fear is when we start doing our own stuff? It's when we start making our own decisions about our lives. Forget God. We've been doing this a long time. We've been on the road a long time. And instead of the voice of faith, we start listening to the voice of fear. And we start to respond and to react to the voice of fear more than the voice of faith. And we end up on the floor looking like a grasshopper and thinking all the giants are too big for me to handle life. But the grapes are bigger than the giants. We need faith to go again. You know, in listening to the voice of faith, we stepped out and we stepped up to build something very special for our town, didn't we? That's what we did. We stepped up and we stepped out. And now it's the new norm. Got used to it now. Well, it's not faith anymore. We're in it. In it. We've done. And I want to tell you that on this journey of creating this destination for people, this postcode of hope, how long have we been saying that? At a time where we didn't even have it. It was the voice of faith, not the voice of fear, that brings us through. And I want to tell you that on this journey, and I know it's about buildings, and I know it's, for me, it's so much more than about a building. It's about a postcode of hope. And I know that was a long, long journey for us. I want to tell you that on that journey, there were both grapes and giants. There were some incredible things, you know, when we all gave, the big give, you know, when we all kind of put our stuff together and we said, God, this is our offering. This is our first and our best. And we give it, Lord, for the kingdom of God. We give it proudly. We give it thankfully. We're cheerfully giving. And we all did it time and time and time and time again. We just kept on giving and giving. And I remember saying to you very clearly, you may remember me saying that, you know, when we can give no more, God steps in and does the miraculous. We all want God to work a miracle. Give us another million, God. God says, what about your pockets? What about showing generosity from yourself? Don't just put it on everybody else. We did that time and time again. And I want to just share with you, if you'll allow me, just a few minutes to share a story that very few people have heard. You see, people said when we started this journey of creating our destination for people, for this town, our gift to the town, you know, many of them told us that we'd go bankrupt. They said, you'll go bust, you'll never build it. How many know it was a voice of fear? Loads of them said it. You know, you'll go bust. Oh, thanks. God bless you. And it puts doubt in your mind and in your heart and brings you down. Other people prophesied our downfall. Sadly, can I say, other believers prophesied our downfall and the voice of fear was loud. But then comes along the tale of two bridges. And I remember we'd completed phase one in the other building. Incredible facility. We'd all given and God had helped us and we kind of crossed the finishing line with that. And do you know what? We sat on a very, very small piece of land. Some of you will remember that. The 4.5 acres that we now sit on, we didn't own. And yet we'd done phase one. We had a tiny little bit of money left. And we wanted to press on, and some stuff was stopping. There's all kind of legal stuff and stuff that I won't bore you with, but there were giants. Giants were coming, and it was almost like we would never, ever build it. Never mind finish it, that we'd never build it. And one day we said, you know what? We need to just move on. We need to move forward. And we wanted to For the building we had, we wanted to create all the landscaping and all the car park to facilitate you guys coming and all the new people that would come and all the people that would facilitate in the town for all kinds of stuff as our gift to them. And we did maybe something that might be seen as a little bit out there in the fact that we had to get a special license from the landowners, because we didn't own the land, to spend six-figure sums on creating car parks on land that we didn't even own. I didn't mention that at the time, did I? And you know, this is one of those things where if it comes off and if things go forward, you're seen as the hero because you've built something. And if it doesn't come off, you're seen as the villain. For how dare you spend the money that we've given, hard-earned, to create something that we don't even own. But you know, we went ahead and we created and worked very hard, created the landscaping and the car parks. And for many of you now, you will know as you approach the building that we have what we call a pedestrian circle. You either approach that from the steps from the car park or from the long ramp that we created for disabled people and for those that couldn't be bothered climbing the stairs. And we have that pedestrian circle. And on that circle at that time, we created two things. We created two bridges. And one bridge that we created came from the pedestrian circle and took us across to Postcode, our coffee house, which is our gateway to so many things. Awesome. And that bridge, it had a use. People would walk over the bridge into Postcode. But you know what? Call me daft, some of you have. We built another bridge from that pedestrian car park at that time that was a short bridge that would feed the main arena when we built it. Bearing in mind, we didn't own the land, and I tell you a little secret now as well, we didn't have any money to build the build either. And so we built this bridge, and you know, some of you will remember, because you used to come at that time, that when we come to the end of the bridge, we had to put some boarding because there was a 6-foot drop. 2 meters for you who work in meters. And it's like, why would we do that? And knowing that we'd done all that, in the fact that we didn't own the land, we didn't know we were definitely getting the land, we had no money for the build. Let me tell you, we did that by the voice of faith. And we could have listened to the voice of fear. Now we had to listen to the voice of reason. We sat together and I believe we were good stewards, and we looked at what we could and what we couldn't do. But sometimes we just have to ride on faith. Can you imagine what a laughing stock we would have been a few years on if we still just had a bridge with a 6-foot drop at the end of it? We'd have been called fools. But you know, by the voice of faith, we not only got the land, but we built the building. And I thank God. I thank God that we were courageous enough to listen to the voice of God. And not just to the voice of reason, and certainly not to the voice of fear. But we rose up in the voice of faith. By faith we built it, and let me tell you something, it is by the voice of faith that we will build again. And I'm not just speaking about buildings here, guys. You know what, I've had it up to here with buildings, and there's some stuff we've got to finish off. And you know, great the day comes when we have the link between the two buildings. Oh, there's a link. Yeah, there's a link, and it's going to be built. I was in Postcode last week and speaking to some of you guys, and one of you said to me, Dave, I had a dream. Oh dear. One of them. I've had a dream. She said, is there any more building to be done? So what do you mean? He said, well, like, I'm like, are you kidding me? Bill, are you kidding me? Look at the size of this place and look at next door. Look at the land. Are you kidding me? He says, is there any more to be done? He says, because in my dream, you were building it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If ever you needed to go again. I don't know. I said, yes, there is. And I told her what it was. And she said, I think God's saying you can build that. Oh, wow. You all look really encouraged about that right now. Let me tell you, we're in the same boat with no money for it. It is chopped out of the budget for 2020 because we've not got enough money. Now, there's a challenge. And guys, I don't want to make this all about buildings. There are so many things we've got to do with people, and we do. The money that we bring isn't just to, you know, to pay for bricks and mortar. It's to pay for the stories of the lives that we hear. But I am challenged, encouraged. I'm the one who took the link out the budget to try and make the budget come into place so the directors will write it off as we can do it. And then I'm going to go in and say to them, hey guys, we just need another 100 grand for this link. But it's only by the voice of faith. It's not by listening to the voice of fear. We've never done anything by listening to the voice of fear. All that the voice of fear does is divide people. It means we don't really build like we should do. We just fight with one another. We just wander around the wilderness forever. But when we rise to the voice of faith, God does things. He does things beyond what we can do. I'm telling you now that God's after our yes. He's after your yes, hear me. Every family in this place. He's after your yes. He wants you to go again. He's after your yes. I wonder if you're willing to give him your yes. Sometimes our yes 20 years ago is not enough for our yes today. He's after our yes. I believe he's bringing us back to a place so that we can go again. And so I do finish with this question to us, because I continue with these thoughts. Don't miss next week. I'm going to talk to you about the postcode of your life. I want to speak to you about the postcode of your life, continuing this journey. But I ask you the question, what is the place? Everyone say place. What is the place that God is bringing me back to so that I can go again? What is the place that God is bringing me back to so that I can say yes and go again?